Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I'm your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that I do. It's a spiritual conversation that I have with you all, and I'm glad to be back today. Those of you who have been following me on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium, know that I've been traveling in Italy and having wonderful spiritual adventures there, and I did share a lot about that in last week's Wednesdays with Willa. So you're welcome to look back at the archive videos of When in Rome, the special travel edition that I did last week, and enjoy some of the sights that I enjoyed. And so I'm back in Lilydale now, and it's been quite a journey. So I want to share some of my thoughts that I have been having during my journey, and then today. So I'm glad that you can join me on my Facebook page. You can tune in and see me visually, and that's Willa White Medium. You can also tune in on the Lilydale Blog Talk Radio page, which is blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio. Now, that's an audio only, so you can certainly just listen on that one, but it's also valuable for those who are able to only listen and not view. So today I have as my topic the upcoming Easter ideas. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for joining me today. I'm really glad to be back and be with all of you live like this again. So as you come on, you can say hello and happy spring, and Easter is coming up, so you can say happy Easter if you wish. And I want to talk a bit about today about mediumship and Jesus. So this is going to be quite an interesting topic for many people, and I hope that you can enjoy it and join in the conversation and leave your positive comments, and you can certainly call in if you'd like to join in with my discussion today. So, as I said, I've been traveling. I just got back from Italy. Most of my time was spent in Rome, so I had an opportunity to tour the Vatican Museum, saw a lot of Egyptian artifacts there, and a lot of the Greek and Roman things as well. And there's an understanding of history that is there that is really kind of glorious to behold. Some of the works of art that have been maintained in that place, and the sculptures of Michelangelo, and paintings, and you know, you can see Bernini and Caravaggio's work in full swing. Thanks, Michelle. I'm glad to be home. It's always good to travel, but it's good to come back home to Lilydale. This is my spiritual home, after all. So looking ahead at the schedule here, you know, we have Good Friday coming up, and followed by Easter. And those of you who know your Gospels, as it were, know that with Good Friday, that is when Jesus was crucified, and then Easter is when he rose. But before we get to that, I want to talk a bit about some of the miracles of Jesus. And many people are familiar with his multiplying the loaves and the fishes and things like that, and those are miracles. But I want to talk specifically about mediumship in the form of spirit contact, because one of the big moments of mediumship for Jesus was when he was on the mountain, and it is commonly referred to as the Transfiguration of Jesus. And it is celebrated as a feast and things like that. And it's considered one of the miracles of Jesus. When he went up on the mountain, and it is considered the Mount of Transfiguration because of this. But he went up with three of his apostles. He went up with Peter, James, and John, and they went up on this mountain to pray. Because it's wonderful to have those moments where there's the vista and you're close to the sky, and that's one of the ways that I enjoy praying sometimes the most is going out into nature, climbing up a hill, and having that vista and having those moments of solitude. So while they are on the mountain, Jesus begins to shine with bright rays of light. As the story goes, he's shining with bright rays of light. And, you know, the medieval paintings that you see in art museums, they really do try to depict this understanding of the aura extending beyond that physical body. But there's a light that is usually painted for Jesus and Mother Mary. And there's a reason for that, is because the crown chakra light extends beyond. So anyway, Jesus is beginning to shine with bright rays of light. And then the prophets of Moses and Elijah appear next to him, and they have a conversation. What is that? That is spirit contact. That is mediumship. And many times when people are in those moments of receptivity, when they're in meditation, they do feel very strongly the conversations with their loved ones in spirit. And with those that have gone before. Because if you're doing something interesting, you tend to attract the attention of people who want to be there and be supportive of you or be mentors to you, spiritual mentors, in the forms of Moses and Elijah showed up for Jesus. And so he's having a conversation. This Jesus is then called Son by a voice in the sky. And this is assumed to be God the Father. And it's considered to be that a moment of, again, transfiguration. Now, transfiguration has a slightly different meaning when it comes to spiritualism. You know, because those of you who know me know I am a spiritualist. I live here in Lilydale, and I am a spiritualist. So when it comes to transfiguration, sometimes we will see the face of another person transfigure over a living person. And perhaps you've had those experiences yourself. Like all of a sudden you'll look and you'll see your dead mother's face upon someone else's face, and it's very distinct. Or you look in the mirror and you see your mother's face over your face, even though you have different facial construction and everything. So transfiguration in spiritualist terms usually has to do with that. But in this case of the transfiguration of Jesus, this has to do with actual contact with ascended masters, with spirit, people who are on the spiritual planes, who no longer have a physical body. In this case, it was Moses and Elijah. So very exciting for those of you who follow history and follow mentions of this in scriptures. And, you know, my focus today will be on scriptures of the Bible, because we're coming up to Good Friday and Easter. So most of you can probably understand what I'm saying about the importance of that transfiguration. And there, knowing that he's got Moses, who's a big deal. I mean, Moses went up on a mountain and he talked to God and he came back down with the Ten Commandments. So knowing you got Moses in your corner is huge. So it's a common understanding for people to go up on a mountain and talk with God, to really have a moment of divine self. And Jesus had other opportunities. He did, go into the wilderness and really have a deep conversation with God, didn't eat and all that good stuff. So Jesus has, by this time, gotten very used to having contact with God, with his divine self, and with the spirits of those that have passed and gone before him. You know, and here in Lilydale, we have so many people that are the founders of our religion and maintain this. If you go to the Assembly Hall building here in Lilydale, the Church of the Living Spirit is in it during the off season, and then during the summer season, a lot of workshops are held there. You will see lining the walls the people who were movers and shakers for spiritualism. And so I have felt deep and abiding connections with these folks that line the walls, and felt their support in my mediumship and in my endeavors here in Lilydale. And so it makes sense that they would still care. Just because you're dead doesn't mean you stop caring about the people that you love so deeply. Those connections are still important to you. Those connections are still sacred. They're still divine. And it's possible for, even if you didn't know them before they passed, you can get to know them even better. You can develop your own association with them. And so you have in this moment of transfiguration of Jesus that he is having moments with Moses and Elijah. Very exciting to someone like me. Hopefully exciting to you too. Let me know. And so then you have leading up to this, the big momentous occasion. There are so many things. Jesus knows what's coming. There's an understanding and acceptance of his fate that is very much there. So sometimes we have within ourselves an understanding of what is to come. You can sense what is a higher probability of outcome based on the patterns, based on the situations around you, but mainly based on your own intuition, your own divine self, your own soul will tell you. Sometimes you're just like, I know right around the corner such and such is going to be there. And you're right. And so we get these intuitive leads, these divine hunches, and they are there to prepare us. Sometimes we have dreams. We have these premonitional dreams that indicate something is to come. And you, over the years, you start to understand the symbology that is behind those dreams, the symbology behind those premonitions, and you start to be able to understand so that you don't interpret them incorrectly. So there's something that does take practice over time. And I know in prior Wednesdays with Willis shows, I've talked about dreams and the symbologies regarding that and how to really understand it more. So if you're interested in that aspect, go back and look at the archive videos for that. But as it relates to a premonition of knowing this impending death is going to occur for Jesus. Now, when I was in Rome, I went to Vatican, as I told you, and I also went to St. Peter's Basilica, which is a humongous church. It's like the biggest church I've ever seen. I mean, it's so tall, vast, vaulted ceilings. You know, it's gold upon gold, marble upon marble. It's just, it's very impressive. And one could say a bit grandiose, right? But in beautiful, beautiful things that they did with this dome and with the Bernini bronze canopy and things like that. But set off onto the one side is a very special sculpture, and I did touch upon that in last week's Wednesdays with Willa. And it's a sculpture that has deeply affected me in just being in its presence. And that sculpture is La Pietà. And it is a sculpture that Michelangelo did when he was 24, mind you. He saw in the marble the image that God wanted him to bring forth. That's how profound his artistic ability was, that he could take a big old block of marble and really not make any mistakes on it, carve beautifully, show folds of clothing, show expressions, show the musculature of people's bodies. Brilliant, brilliant man. And so at the age of 24, he did this very impressive sculpture of Mother Mary holding her son Jesus. Now, in her arms, she is holding her dead son Jesus. And for those of you who have lost a child or lost someone you love, you know what I'm talking about, holding them and having the grief of it in that moment. And the more profound part of all of this for me was when I understood that Jesus was actually a baby in her arms at that time. And she was having a premonitional understanding, an intuitive understanding of what would happen to her son. So this is actually her holding him as a baby and knowing what was to come and being in that solid pyramid of maternal tenderness in that moment. An incredible feeling was captured at that point of grief and acceptance encapsulated in those moments. And Mary knew, and they probably know all the details, but she knew what was to come. And how often, as mothers, have we felt things, maybe not the passing of our children, but other things having to do with our loved ones' lives. We have known sometimes what is to come. And having, in one hand, grief, in one hand, acceptance. And we are given this knowledge in advance, so that we can be stronger in the moment when it comes. It doesn't mean we don't have feelings. We sure do. But we have the underpinnings of the universe. We have that which is the divine supporting us and offering us healing at that very moment. So it's a very sacred sculpture, and it's the only piece of work that Michelangelo ever signed. He understood what it was to connect on deep levels with the soul and with God, and I do feel he found that in his art so profoundly. So, you know, looking at that and knowing, you know, what in essence is going to be coming here this Friday and this and on Easter Sunday, and you know, all of this leading up to it, sometimes we have to face the struggles, the trials, and know that we are not forsaken by God when this is going on, that we are being carried, and that there is a divine purpose. Now, in the case of Jesus, many people have used his life and used his death as a way of understanding their own divine selves. As a way of saying, I want to live a higher life with higher consciousness. And to have your consciousness raised by what could be considered a tragic circumstance is incredible. I can't tell you the number of clients that have come to me over the years and had to endure amazing, incredible tragedy. And they have found some measure of peace and some measure of understanding that is so profound, I can't even put a word to it. They say, this has raised my consciousness, that I am a stronger person, and I know the divine never let me go. That those times where I maybe thought I was walking alone, I was not. God was carrying me every step of the way. And so there's a profound message leading up to Jesus' passing, this understanding of acceptance, this idea of cleaning or clearing energy, which is another aspect of this atonement. That's a word that you probably have heard in this, that somehow there had to be a sacrifice of blood sacrifice, as it were, for things to have a clean slate. How often in our lives have we wished for a clean slate and wished for a clean slate and not felt that it's there, and then at other moments, all of a sudden, you just feel like the karma of that has been erased. It's really amazing what happens. That law of grace transcends sometimes the karma that has gone on. And we do have that as an example in all of this. Now, one of the things that I love as a spiritualist, the thing that really is great to me, is that Jesus said, hey, folks, we don't really die. Because there are a lot of people during that time that thought, well, when you died, that was it. And you pretty much go in the ground, dust to dust. Yeah, you might kind of go to the universal thing, but you don't maintain personality. But Jesus explains, we maintain personality. We live beyond this physical, material world construct, and that personality continues on. So as a medium, when I'm connecting with people who have passed over and I'm in a reading with a client, their personality will come through, sometimes rip-roaring through if that's their personality, or nice and shy. And you've got the saints and the sinners of the bunch, as it were. So it can be a lot of fun, the different characters that show up to a reading. But personality continues after so-called death. And for Jesus to say, hey, you guys, I didn't really die, is really wonderful. So you've got these instances of Jesus showing up after his passing. And this is the understanding of the resurrection, right? So one of the first things he does is Mary, his mother, is outside the tomb, and she's weeping. And she's just crying her eyes out. And she sees two angels. And one, and they're in white, by the way. The two angels are in white, and one is at the head, and one is at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying there. And they say to her, woman, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? And she says, they've taken my Lord away, my son, Jesus, away, and I don't know where he is, basically. And they say, after this, she turns around and back around, and she sees Jesus. Mary sees her son, Jesus. And yet she doesn't really understand that it's Jesus, because it's like blows her mind. I'm sure, as many of my clients who have had spirit contact with their loved ones that have passed, is like, oh, is this really happening? Just kind of like in this, I can't believe this is happening mode. And Jesus says to his mother Mary, he says, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? And she's just worried because she can't find his body. They carried him off. You know, she's just in grief. And so sometimes people are in their mode of grief. They cannot see beyond that moment of grief. They can't see beyond being upset. They can't sense spirit fully. And Jesus says to her, Mary! And she says to him, oh my gosh, it's you! And then he says, sorry, stop clinging to me, Mom. And because he needs to be on his way, and he says, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. So it's very interesting to me. He's like, I'm okay, Mom. I'm going to God. And there are many times clients have told me this, and I've experienced this myself, that a person will pass and they'll visit a person here on the earth plane just to say hi, hey, I'm okay, I'm heading where I need to go on things, and I just wanted one last time to say hello or be in your presence or to be in your love. Some of you have had those experiences, haven't you? You've had those experiences where you feel the presence of your loved one around you, and it can be so beautiful if we let it. So I love that story of this Mary thing. So then, let's see. We've got Mary Magdalene. Okay, we've got all of this going on. He makes sure that he visits Mary Magdalene. Okay, this is interesting. For Jehovah's angel had descended from heaven and approached and rolled away the stone and was sitting on it. And his outward appearance was as lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And so you see this as a theme in the Bible. Oh, yes, you're right, Judy, you're right about that. Mary Magdalene. So anyway, this is, where are they? Oh, this is a common thing of people showing up in white. And I remember reading in Living with the Himalayan Masters, And in that book, people are on a journey, and they really feel very strongly that they are with Himalayan masters and gurus, and they are wearing white. And even though this is a dirty, scrabbling job trying to climb up these hills and mountains, these people maintain their white clothing and pure clothing, and it is something that they don't have any efforts about. And they ask them at one point, so why aren't your clothes dirty? Why are you still pure and white in your garb? And they respond to the people. They say, it is because we are of pure thought. We do not think about getting dirty or attracting those kind of lower vibration things, basically, to us, and we're able to maintain it in that way. And so then when I go back and I read, this white garb. This white garb is very important. I mean, back then, we're talking about a dusty place that they all lived in during the Bible years here. And to have white clothing was a thing indeed. I mean, you even had Jesus earlier on trying to wash people's feet because their feet would get dirty. I mean, things like this would go on. But anyway, so you've got this clothing as white as snow. And the angel in answer said to the woman, "Do not be fearful, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was impaled. He's not here, for he was raised up. And as he said, come see the place where he is lying, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he was raised up from the dead. And he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and then you're going to see him there." So they've been told by someone, don't worry, he's A-okay, and you're going to see him when you're heading into Galilee. So they leave that tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to report to the disciples. So then Jesus met them, just as predicted, and he says, hey, good day, and they're approached, and they caught him by his feet, and they did their thing for him, and he said, go, have no fear, and he's reassuring people right along the way, because he's Jesus, right, and that's what he's good at, reassuring people. And so you've got Mary Magdalene, and you've got Mary, the mother of Joseph, and you've got different people that he's connecting with right along the way. And so you have very much in the Bible opportunities for people to experience mediumship or spirit contact with Jesus. So Jesus, as I said earlier, had had contact with Moses and Elijah, had had contact with other folks, and that was something that was normal to him and something he was practiced in, and then he was helping other people to be open to that understanding that you do not die, that you have a soul, and that your soul is important, and that you are part of the divine. And he said some of the most profound words, I am. When you embrace the great I am, the great I am presence, you start to understand that you are one with God, you are one with the divine, and that magical, mystical things occur in that space of God and glory. So, as I said, there are many instances of this where he shows up to different people, the disciples, they get really excited. Oh, I'm trying to find the one where, so I want to make sure I get it right. And he says, oh, I know. He walks up to him and he says, is that Jesus? Oh, there we go. So he, 8 days later, his disciples are again indoors, and Thomas is with them. And Jesus came through the doors, and the doors were locked. So spirit can pass through the doors, as we know. And he stood in their midst, and he said, may you have peace. What a beautiful message. A lot of times, spirit, they're just trying to say, hi, we want good things for you. May you have peace. And he says to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Now take your hand and stick it into my side. And stop being unbelieving, but become believing. So sometimes people will show up in the form that they had when they were here. I ask them to come forward the way they were when they were here, because that's how you're going to remember them. So if they had cancer, I kind of feel the cancer. Or if they had a heart attack, I feel that. Or however things evolve. Sometimes I've felt great sores in certain places. But, with Jesus, he's impaled in the side. He's got things nail spikes that have been driven through him, and he's like, "See, I've got this." He's got proof that it is indeed him, and people really do make their folks in spirit jump through hoops, don't they? Because Jesus is like, "Listen, I've got proof here. It's me," and they kind of go into this this lack of faith. And at one point, he actually reproaches them for their lack of faith and their hard-heartedness because they did not believe those who had beheld him now raised up from the dead. So I love that Jesus is like, guys, it's in the Bible. Hey, you guys, I'm not dead. I still have a soul, and it's everything's okay. And he says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And so this understanding that we do not die, preach this good news to all creation. And that it matters how you live your life. It matters how you perceive the afterlife. I've had people come through in spirit that didn't believe in any of this. And they have their comeuppance, and they come later into their folks, to the client here, and they'll say, yeah, you were right. And sometimes people are afraid to die because they don't know what to expect on the other side. And it is that great mystery in some ways that you have to kind of have an adventure. So it reminds me of the times when I was just in Rome. And you have all this amazing architecture, all this living museum history around you, right? The buildings, the cafes, you have little trinket shops all around you. And you're traveling around, and all of a sudden, you'll turn the corner, and there's a piazza, and there's a fountain, and there's a little sweet thing of Mother Mary. And, you know, there's all these little surprises around the corner. And we could go on a trip to Rome together, and we could say, oh, look at that trash on the street. You know, we could start picking apart. All these buildings are crumbling. You know, we could act that way. Or we could go in with the understanding that there is beauty to be had, and there's an adventure to be shared together. So if the way a person lives usually indicates how they're going to die and how they will accept death. I've noticed this, it tends to run true. So I encourage all of you to live with that childlike wonder and awe, to live with that understanding that you do continue after so-called death, and that you will have, if you're open to the experience, you'll have wonderful, good, healthy interpretations of spirit contacts that occur for you. So when they come around you, you may go, huh, and not necessarily recognize it at first. But I want to go back to what I was saying about transfiguration. So we talked about transfiguration of Jesus. He's on the mountain with some of his folks, and the light is beaming out of him, and he sees Moses and Elijah. You may, in a moment of clarity, maybe it's during a meditation, maybe it's during a church service, maybe it's you just washing your car, whatever it is, it could be a very mundane circumstance that occurs. You could be watching your children run and play and smile and just feel the glory of God in those moments. And you may feel your soul beaming out the way Jesus' soul did. Your soul can do incredible things and experience incredible things. And one of the things that Jesus did say, he says, I wanted to pull this up here. Yes, John 14, 12 through 14. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. So, you know, he set this up. Hey, you folks, you can do incredible things, and you can do even greater things. And so I love that he said this. You know, Jesus, in that day and age, one of the reasons that he some people didn't like him is because he questioned authority, and he didn't rely on elders necessarily. He said, we got to go back to what the Bible tells us, what is considered the Old Testament, and go back to those basics and learn from that, the understanding of the prophets, the understanding of, hey, here's Noah. Isn't he crazy building this ark in the middle of a place that doesn't ever get rain very much? It's like, you have these instances. Perhaps you've had people in your life that, for whatever reason, were drawn to do something a little different that is very inspired and create something. I mean, this is how we get those inventors. That's how we get artists. That's how we have things that just feel divinely guided by God in all of us. And it's something that when I look on this whole life and death of Jesus thing from a spiritualist standpoint, I think it's actually very beautiful, some of the lessons that we can take from it positively. We could get really wrapped up in all of this, but Jesus, even while this was going on, forgave his tormentors. And the kiss of Judas, right? And he's having to forgive these things that are coming to pass because he knows greater good is going to come from it. Because what does seem to hold true, as well as most people will learn through struggle. It's nice if you can learn by watching other people go through it. If you say, hey, you know what? I see the obstacle course. I see where the mud pits are. I see this is where I just go 1, 2, 3, jump, and I'm over it, or I can go around it. It's nice if we can learn through other people's mistakes whenever possible. But, when it comes to living, it's not just something you can do in theory. It's not something that you can just sit on the sidelines. You will not have a fulfilling life. It is something where you have to fully engage. It's the difference between someone telling you what swimming is like and you actually jumping in the water and swimming for all you're worth. And there's something to be had experienced here on this physical earth plane that you cannot experience on any other plane of existence. And it's very special what we have here. And we do have this opportunity when we incarnate to be good to each other, to experience each other, to see how spiritual natural laws are reflected in our experiences with other people. And you can see the law of personal responsibility, the law of free will, the law of creative reality. And you have that law of attraction, the law of resonance. You have law of grace, law of forgiveness. One of the things that is part of this aspect of Jesus is this understanding of forgiveness. Forgiveness against the trespasses against us. It can be very tricky to get through those spaces. And so I can, in very symbolic ways, understand what was transpiring with the Jesus story. And I can enjoy and take from it beautiful divine concepts that assist me in the living of my life. And hopefully you can find that, if not in that story, but in other stories, something that helps you transcend the ordinary, that helps you understand the web of existence, that helps you understand that we do have continuity of life, and that we do have continued personality after so-called death, as Jesus demonstrated. And I hope that you can take this with the peace and joy that it is meant with, that this understanding, there's so much more we could talk about in depth about this particular topic. But I wanted to share those thoughts, especially because we're coming up on the Good Friday and on Easter. And hopefully you're excited as I am about this adventure that we're having called life. And I wanted to make sure that I mention, I have my classes coming up. If you're wanting to come and be in a teacher-student situation with me, I have coming up in May two classes. One is Understanding Spiritual Energy, and that is on May 1st. And the other one is Messages from Spirit, and that is May 8th. And you can find more information about that on my Facebook page, Willow White Medium, and also on my website, which is willowwhite.com, under the Coming Events page. So you can take a look at things there, and if you're going to be in this area, it's in Jamestown, New York, not far from Lilydale. And those are special classes. I teach at Jamestown Community College spiritual development classes. I am trying to remember how many years this has been. It might be 12, 13. I don't know. It's a long time I've been teaching spiritual development classes for them. They called and asked me to do that. So it's something I really enjoyed doing, and I've had such wonderful students at Jamestown Community College. So hopefully you can come out and join me. If they're on Wednesday evenings. I seem to really like Wednesdays. So you could look forward to. Now, I also want to mention that the 2019 summer season Lilydale program guide has come out. If you're interested in this summer's events, the happenings that are going to have the 140th year of Lilydale, which is awesome, don't you think? 140 years Lilydale has been going strong. And there's so many daily events to go to, message services, healing services, workshops. Take a look at that on the LilydaleAssembly.org website. You can also get one of the paper catalogs if you wish and go through the things. We've got some big names. I think Neil Don Walsh is coming and some others. So a lot to get excited for, a lot to get ready for. If you're looking at and getting booked in with a medium, do it soon, sooner rather than later, because a lot of us get booked up, especially certain big name days. Those get booked up really easily. I know I've got some days that are already booked in. So just as a heads up to you, if you're getting ready for this coming summer season. And I also want to mention their other Blog Talk radio shows that Lilydale does. There are three others that do radio shows here for Lilydale. And so on Tuesday evenings, you have Colleen Vanderzijden. And on Wednesday mornings with me, Wednesday evenings with John White. No relation, but he is also a registered medium. And his is Journeys of the Light, I want to say. And then Thursday mornings is Wake Up to Spirit with Celeste Elliott. So you've got other opportunities to connect in those ways with Lilydale and have a little nibble before the season comes, a little dose of spiritualism. And so I hope that you've enjoyed today's program and that you get excited, as I said, about living your life in a beautiful, profound way, knowing that we do continue on. Thanks so much for your kind attention today. Lots of love to all of you, and God bless. Bye-bye. Happy Easter.